Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. As clinicians, we spend a decade or more as trainees learning to take care of patients. When we finally start our careers, we want to build research programs, but then we find that our years of clinical training did not adequately prepare us to lead a research program. Through no fault of our own, we struggle to find mentors, and when we can't, we quit. However, clinicians hold the keys to the greatest research breakthroughs. For this reason, the Clinician Researcher Podcast exists to give academic clinicians the tools to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. Now, introducing your host, Teosi Onwemena. Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast. I'm your host, Teosi Onwemena, and it is an absolute pleasure to be talking with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I am talking about the surprising reason for your lack of success. Yes, I'm talking about the surprising reason that you may not be succeeding. And this is an important topic to talk about because honestly, in academia, there are so many challenges. There's so many times where you feel like people are trying to trip you up intentionally or unintentionally. And it can be hard. You're not getting support you need. You're not getting the resources you need. And it feels like so many things are against you. But I want to say that there are places that you need to look as far as where the obstacles are to your success. And I want to talk about those obstacles right now. But I also want to share that I've come a long way in my journey where I had a long list of the people who, if they could just do things differently, my life would be better. The mentor who, if only they would mentor differently, my life would be better. The division chief who, if only they would give me more resources, my life would be better. There was always somebody. And I finally realized that they were not my problem. And so I want to share some insights with you today about where to look and how you can succeed no matter the source of your problem. All right. Number one, the first thing to recognize is that this journey is hard. So I just want to start from the basics, the fact that this is supposed to be hard. And if it's not hard, then you're not in academia. If it's not hard, then you're not pursuing the life of being a clinician scientist. If it's not hard, then you're in the wrong specialty or you're in the wrong field because this work is hard. And it's actually exactly because it's hard that we are so drawn to it because we are always drawn to a challenge. You know, for better or for worse, we enjoy challenges. We enjoy pushing through. We enjoy overcoming. We enjoy the other side of a good challenge. Now, what we don't like is struggle. A good challenge is where, okay, it's hard. You figure out the details of how hard it is. You push forward. You put in effort. You see your effort give way to success. Ooh, that's a good challenge. That's a good challenge. But in reality, there are some things that are not challenges. They're actually kind of like rocks. Like no matter how you push them, no matter how long you cook them, they still are in the way. And so I want to talk about that because it's supposed to be hard because we love a good challenge. We love a good challenge because at the end of the challenge, we grow, we transform, we change, we're new, we're different. We like what we see. At the end of a good challenge, we expand in a way that we were not before we started the challenge. And so this whole career of growing your own research program, of building research, is its own personal development program because the person you have to become to be able to successfully lead a research program is infinitely greater than the person you are right now at the very beginning. No matter where you are, there's so much further that you have to grow. So when you start out, you're like, research methodology and writing grants, grantsmanship, and that you're always going to continue to grow. But there's a point at which that your growth becomes incremental because you've gotten really good. And then you get to a place where you start to build a program and there are people who, they're mentees in your program, they're staff in your program, and these people start to have squabbles between each other. And then you're like, wow, I'm managing people. How do I do that? How do I build a cohesive culture? How do I help people like you know, embody the culture that I care about in my program. And those are challenges, so that every time we master something, another challenge shows up, and another challenge shows up, and another challenge shows up. And if it's the kind of challenge that helps us, the kind of challenge we like, it's the kind of challenge that helps us grow. It's the kind of challenge that moves us forward. And so to start with, I want to say it's supposed to be hard, because a good challenge helps us to become who we need to become. But I also want to encourage you to stay focused on moving through challenges and moving through the next level and the next level and the next level and the next level of challenge. And I want to let you know that if you're faced with a challenge that doesn't grow you, that doesn't expand you, then it might not be a challenge. It might be a problem. And so number one is that it's supposed to be hard because we love challenges. Number two, if it's hard because of struggle or because of problems, then that's not okay. Okay, so what do I mean by that? When I talked about challenges, I talked about the fact that they help you grow. They help you become the person you're not. You look back and you're like, I used to be that, and that was really cool. And who I've become right now is so much greater. And that's what challenges do for you. They're like great weights in the gym. The more you lift them, the stronger you get, the more ripped you are, the more muscles you build. That's what challenge does for you. That's what a good challenge will do for you. But here's the thing about a problem. A problem actually draws a lot of your strength, a lot of your energy, and it doesn't move. It's like a rock that is immovable. And you can spend a long time beating on it, or you can cook it in the pot for hours and hours and hours on end. It will still be there. It does not change. And there are many problems like that that take our energy and take our time and take our attention. And at the end of all the effort we put into it, we do not grow. We do not grow. The problem has not changed. We are still in the same situation. It is a problem. And I just want to encourage you that where you see problems, not challenges, I'm distinguishing between challenges and problems, where you see rocks that don't move, that don't benefit you, that you invest all this energy and it doesn't move forward, I want you to consider a different strategy. See, with challenges, you push forward. With challenges, you come at it with strategy. With challenges, you try one way and you're like, oh, this didn't work. Let's try a different way. With challenges, you push forward until you push through. With problems, with these rocks that no matter how much effort you expend, they're not going to move, you leave them alone. You leave them alone. With problems, you leave them alone. Because if the problem is not going to budge, if it's a central pillar that doesn't move, and you expend energy after, and you throw energy after energy after energy, you throw good money after bad money after good money after bad money, and the problem doesn't change, it is time to turn your energies and your attention where your efforts will actually make a difference. Okay, so if it's a problem, that no matter how much energy you invest in it, it's still the same, it's time to let it go. What am I talking about? Sometimes you find that there are inherent structures in your academic institution that don't let you move forward. For example, let's say you are in a unit where you're medical director and you're in charge of a group of nurses, but you're not really in charge of them because you don't hold a budget. They don't answer to you. And maybe there's one particular person who just, you know, somehow doesn't like you. You don't like her either. You're always fighting, you know, and you're trying to figure out like who's going to win. And you expend a lot of energy to convince this person, and you have meetings and you're arguing and it's just not working. That is a problem. That's a problem. And it's time to leave the problem alone. Now, leaving the problem alone doesn't necessarily mean leave the person alone. A person is not a problem. A person can be a source of or cause of a problem, but a person is not the problem. What you can do is decide if you're going to turn the problem into a challenge, into a how do I get the best out of this person challenge, or you're going to let it go. You're going to say, how can I avoid working with this person who drains a lot of energy but doesn't allow me to move forward? And your wisdom will guide you into whether it's going to be challenge pushed through or problem let go. But don't allow problems to stay problems. If they choose or if they stay as problems, leave them alone. But if you don't want them to stay as problems, then what you want to do is turn them into challenges that you can address, or you want to leave them alone. All right, that's number two. Number three is that when you look around, the problem is not somebody else. It's not your division chief. It's not your mentor. It's not your institution. And by the way, an institution is a construct. It's a social construct. It's not a real person. It will always be a person, right? If you think about it, who's responsible for allocating resources? Yes, not the institution. It's somebody. And you may say, oh, institutional policy. No. One person. People are writing the policies, and policies can be changed. So where they're like, this is our institutional policy. Well, institutional policies change because people change them, right? And so your challenge, your problem is not a person. Your problem is not your division chief. Yes, your division chief may hold the keys to resources that they allocate. And maybe they've decided you're not really the person they want to allocate resources to for now, right? Because if you play your cards right, you're going to help them recognize that you are exactly the right person that they want to invest in. You're going to help them see that. But they're not your problem. Your mentor is not your problem. Yes, your mentor may not have time to meet with you every week. Or sometimes you send your mentor a grant and they don't even read it. That's never happened to me. They're not your problem. And that brings me to number four. The only problem you can ever have is you. It's the only problem. And the reason the only problem you can ever have is you is because you are the one with the power to change your problem into a challenge or to leave it as a problem. Let's say your mentor is not responsive. Okay. And if only your mentor were more responsive, your life would be better. Maybe. But who's choosing the mentor? Oh, I didn't choose the mentor. It was just someone who was assigned to me. Okay. You chose to accept the mentor that was given to you. What if you chose to accept something different? What if you chose a different mentor? What if you chose a cadre of mentors? What if you chose to give your mentor feedback that may help them help you more? What if you chose to take the problem of your mentor and make it a challenge of how to get the best out of somebody who's brilliant, by the way, successful, by the way? How do you make the most of your experience, or how do you change the story? How do you change the narrative so that this mentor who you have been looking at as a problem is one of many? And now you've kind of, you know, spread out the wealth so you're not completely dependent on this one person. But the person who makes that decision is you. Until you decide that you're not going to let problems remain problems, they stay the same. And so the greatest problem you have is you. Until you change, until you reframe, your problem will always be a problem. And the question is, what needs to happen to your problem to make it no longer a problem? What needs to happen to your problem to make it go away? You can say, oh no, my division chief is just difficult and doesn't give me any resources. Okay, maybe and maybe not. Maybe that's the fact, but maybe it isn't the fact. What is a fact is that you need resources. And what is a fact is that resources reside in more than one place. And what is a fact is that there are other gatekeepers of resources. And so if one person says, I will not release resources to you, who else can you talk to? Where else can you go to find resources? How creative can you get about finding resources? Do you see where I'm going with this? I'm saying that, yes, people can be challenging. I'm saying, yes, sometimes people withhold resources that they should give you. I'm saying that, yes, it's true that sometimes people are not nice. Sometimes they're ugly to you. And sometimes they do withhold resources that they should give you. But you're the one who's getting to choose how you engage with them, who else you engage in your career development, how else you move forward. You can stay and fight that person, or you can decide, how do I move forward differently? Maybe it's going to talk to someone else within your institution who has deep institutional memory and knows where resources exist. Or maybe it's you strategizing your path forward and exiting where you are. But to stay and complain and whine and moan about the person, that if only they would change, your life would be better, is to let go of all the power you have and hand it over to someone else who actually has no power over you. Yeah, they may influence a space that's important to you, but they don't have exercise power over you. You exercise power over you. So when will you take charge? When will you take control of your situation and change it for the better? And I say this not to judge you. I say it because it's a realization I've come to in my own life. I thought my mentor was my problem. I thought my division chief was my problem. I thought my institution was my problem. And I realized it was me. Because the moment I got tired of doing things a certain way, I didn't respect the institutional policy. I chose to try a different strategy. I chose to try someone different. I chose to try someone who would think differently alongside me, who would say, yeah, this policy doesn't apply because we choose that it's not going to apply to you. But it wasn't until I got tired, it wasn't until I got good and ready that change happened for me. And so I want to encourage you to stop looking outside, stop asking other people to change, accept who they are, and instead ask yourself, what can I do to get what I need? What can I do to move forward in the way I want to move forward? How can I make this work for me? I want to encourage you that all that you need lies inside or around or is available to you in some way, if only you would get up and look for it. Because when you search, you will always find. You'll always find what you're looking for, and you will never find what you're not looking for. You rarely find what you're not looking for. So choose to be intentional about what you're looking for so that you can find it. Choose to stop telling people that your problems, choose to stop focusing on what other people need to do, and instead ask, what can I do to move forward in my research, in my career? What can I do to make the difference that I need, that I want? All right, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. I would love to hear about how you're taking charge, how you're taking control of the situation in your career, in your lab, in your research program, at your academic institution. Love to hear about how you're thinking about it differently. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to talking with you again next time on the Clinician Researcher Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. If you found the information in this episode to be helpful, don't keep it all to yourself. Someone else needs to hear it. So take a minute right now and share it. As you share this episode, you become part of our mission to help launch a new generation of clinician researchers who make transformative discoveries change the way we do.